Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson, the show where we remind dads of what really matters. I'm Scott Moore, your host. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing, Todd?
Doing great. We just came off a good Labor Day weekend. I assume you had a good time, too.
I did. Got to deal with the remnants of Hurricane Isaac yesterday blowing through Cincinnati, and my kids and I went out and stomped in the rain and had a shaving cream fight and played a little football, and it had a blast.
That sounds good. We got the rain, too. But we couldn't complain. We were at my folks' lake cottage or in-laws' cottage, and they've had such great weather for such a long time, all summer, you know. And so, but this weekend wasn't so good. But it did kind of drive us inside, and the kids played lots of games with their cousins. I think they had 17 cousins there, and we played games. And you know, I realize I'm not a game person. Not that it was a new realization to everyone else, but this was a little hard for me because they were all excited. They were playing euchre and they were playing Five Crowns. I don't know if you've ever played that game. That's a fun game. And they're playing these, you know, word games like kind of Scrabble type things and Bananagrams. And my family, we didn't do games. We did television. You know, yeah. We watched it. We got up early, you know, and we watched it on the weekends. We watched it at night. Somebody was saying this past week, and my sister-in-law was saying, yeah, we're thinking about maybe doing watching a video, you know, on Thursday night each week. And I'm like, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't turn the TV off except when we went to bed. And so that was kind of hard for me. But my wife said, you know, we were talking just among couples and saying something about, you know, what is your love language? And she said, you know, I think one of mine is my love language is playing games. And what she meant by that is she likes it when I involve myself and I play games as well. I tried. I really tried playing the games, and I just felt like a moron. You know, we're playing these Scrabble-type games, and they're real fast at it, you know. That we played Boggle. I don't know if you played Boggle in a long time, but it's this thing where, you have like a cube that has a row of letters, you know, maybe six across each way, and you kind of shake them, and you can spell these words. And they're like getting 25, and I'm getting 4. You know, I can only see the ones that are right in a row, like ask or axe or axes, you know. And they're just like making up all these onomatopoeia, you know, whatever. They're just coming up with these long words. And I'm sitting up there in the bathroom, which I do all my good thinking there. And I was thinking, you know, my brain just doesn't think that way. And I thought theirs do. They like those things. And I think I don't really always get into them because that's not the way I'm wired. But that's not an excuse for pulling out, you know, because I think a lot of dads do pull out. Saying, well, that's just not my thing. Well, it may not be your thing. Games are my thing. But if I'm a dad or a husband, you know, as my wife said, her love language, I need to make them my thing. I may be terrible at it. My wife may beat me all the time, and she does. But I still need to be involved. You know, I was thinking, too, everything was going great this weekend until, you know, kids were having fun. They were playing out in the water. And I think it was Sunday afternoon, the kid said, hey, Uncle Alan, will you take us tubing? And he was like, he was, you know, not really excited about it, but he did it. And I cut the grass, and we thanked each other for, you know, thanks for doing the tubing, thanks for cutting the grass. But secretly, I was glad I didn't have to do the inner tubing, because I mean, he went out in this boat and it had like, I don't know, 15 kids hanging off of it, and it just sounded terrible to me. Well, yesterday they did the same thing, you know, only this time they asked me, and they said, hey, Dad, would you take us tubing? And I'm like, And then they start going, well, if you don't want to, you don't have to. And I'm like, I don't want to, but I will. And, you know, I think I ruined, at least for some of them, I ruined that time because I was this begrudging dad. You know, I was doing it, but I didn't act like I had the best attitude. And, you know, I hate that about being myself sometimes, but today's a new day, so we get to start off again. Well, tell me a little bit more about that shaving cream thing.
You know, it was funny. I it was pouring down rain, and my gutters being nice and clogged like they are, we have this one spot right in front of the house where the water just sort of pours off the gutter, and right in front of the window in our house, and at the front by the front door. And I went out there to try and dig a little mini trench to make sure the water didn't like all stay right there and seep down into our basement. So I was doing that, and I was getting soaked the whole time and muddy. And then I thought, you know what? It's cooler out here than it is inside because our air conditioner broke 2 days ago. So why don't I just have the kids come out here and, hey, maybe I'll have one of those great dad moments that Todd was talking about last week. And we'll just get soaked playing in the rain. So I yelled into my wife, hey, honey, send the kids out and we'll play in the rain. So she did. And you know, it's funny. It started, I'm not great at manufacturing dad moments like this, but I just thought, you know, I can do this and we'll have a blast. Which sounds silly because most men are probably pretty natural at that. But anyway, I got the boys out there and we were throwing the football and chasing each other around, stomping in the puddles. And then my daughter comes out with these three cans of shaving cream that she had planned to use at summer camp earlier this summer, but they got taken away from her as soon as she got there, so she wasn't allowed to use them. So we had a good shaving cream fight out in the yard in the rain, and it was awesome. Both the boys said this was the best day they'd had in a long time, and you know, I think it was a highlight of the summer.
Well, that's awesome. You know, and I think the cool thing about that is, like you just said, you know, you're not one of those dads where I don't like playing games. Maybe you're not like, you know, I'm not the same. Everybody assumes that, you know, you're the family man, Todd. You love doing all this stuff. I don't. You know, I just know what matters. And Scott, I mean, Scott, you did what matters, whether you wanted to do it or not. And I'm just guessing not only was it a highlight for them, but I'm going to guess that it was a highlight for you as well.
Absolutely. It was great.
And that's the, you know, that's what I want us to do, not just for each other, but I want, you know, the dad who's listening right now, I want you to, if I'm ever, you know, if you see me going a certain path, you get on the stick and email me or whatever and say, hey, Todd, you said this, you missed out on the best, because we do. Well, hey, Scott, how about we move on over to the dad news desk? And I know that you found something in that appeals to dads, I guess, because I just think it's cool just to, you know, every once in a while where you come across these things that, you know, hey, other dads would like this, but you ran across one this past week.
Yeah, I want to find out if this has ever happened to you, because you do a lot of traveling in your RV, and there was a guy in Memphis, Tennessee this summer who is a dad who wished not to be identified, according to the article I read, and I'm kind of scratching my head thinking, I wonder why he didn't want to be identified. Well, he was left at a truck stop by his wife and family, and for 100 miles they drove on without noticing that he wasn't there. The family was traveling in a van, and everyone presumed Dad was in the back. But he was still at the gas station calling his own phone, which was in the back of the van, and he couldn't get a hold of anybody. So he finally reached Mom in the van, who was driving, I presume, by posting a message on Facebook, of all things. And I'm thinking, ouch, that hurts. So I wanted to know, has your wife ever left you behind when she took off with the RV and the kids?
No. But the thing is, I'm always driving. So, you know, but, and so far I've never left anybody. We almost did one time. Isaac, he's my fourth child. He's my easy to overlook kid, you know. I mean, and I feel terrible about it, but he's just one of those kids that, you know, if you would pull away, he would be one of those kids. And we were, you know, in the RV, and he ran into the bathroom or do something, and I started to, disengage the air brakes, and he's like, comes to the door, and he goes, you weren't going to forget me, Dad, were you? And I'm like, of course not! And I'm thinking, boy, I almost did, because I've got a, you know, I do have a track record. My wife would say I've left a kid or two in my time. One time I left a baby in the parking garage, and one time I left one out in the church parking lot for 10 minutes. But it was okay. Nobody got hurt. But, I was doing some reading, too, in the bathroom. Where, again, all the good things happen to dads. And we have this magazine. Oh, that was a high squeaky voice. We have this magazine, God's World Magazine. Have you ever seen that, Scott?
I think so.
You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit from a Christian perspective. It's when I was a kid in school, we had the weekly readers. I don't know if you remember those.
Yeah.
But the weekly readers always had, you know, great information, you know, like a kid who had a tooth in his toe, things that were cool. But I'm still drawn to that kind of news. And I was reading about this guy, these two dads, Kent Couch and Fareed Lafta. They have invented, or maybe perfected, the lawn chair balloon. You know, you've seen the movie Up, you know, where they go up, they take the house up.
Right.
Well, I've heard about guys who've taken lawn chairs, you know, attached helium balloons and flown them. These guys did it. They were planning to go super high. They were planning to get about 14,000 feet up. They got to about 11,000 feet, and they had a storm. They were hoping to get higher so they get caught in these wind currents and go forever. They only went about, they were up for about a couple hours. They had 375 helium-filled balloons that are about 5 feet across, and they were saying that this storm kind of caught them, and they had to shoot their Red Ryder BB gun at these balloons to descend until they got low enough where they could jump from the thing. But I was reading what they carried with them. They had 800 pounds of red Kool-Aid to use as ballast. They had oxygen. They had two-way radios, cameras, parachutes, and a Red Ryder. They each had a Red Ryder BB gun and blowguns to shoot balloons for landing. I'll tell you, Dad, if you're even thinking about doing something like that, helium air balloons and blowguns, I just think it sounds like a bad, bad idea. And here's another bad idea I read about this guy out in Ogden, Utah. This is such a dad thing. There was this a lady called Cody Creighton spotted this guy while taking a hike near Ogden, Utah. Mr. Creighton saw a herd of mountain goats and noticed an odd-looking goat trailing behind the rest. Viewed through binoculars, the odd goat turned out not to be a goat at all. It was a man in a crude goat costume. This guy says, you know, we were the only ones around for miles. It was really creepy, he said. Wild officials put out the word, and they wanted to speak to the mysterious goat man. What was he doing? Did he know he might be in danger? Goat hunting season was about to start. The goat man might be confused for the real thing, or he might be attacked by a real mountain goat. After the message to leave the goat man alone came from others, it says the goat man himself, he turned himself in, and it turns out he was an experienced 57-year-old archery hunter who was preparing for an upcoming mountain goat hunt in Canada. Archery hunters are encouraged to practice their skills and to get themselves in position where they can make a clean and humane shot. And that's exactly what he was doing. It turns out that it is legal for an archery hunter to dress up like the animal he is hunting, but it is still dangerous. It's unwise, says one wildlife official. It's just a bad idea all the way around to do that kind of thing. So there you hear it, Dad, right here. If you're hunting goats, it's not a good thing to dress up like a goat yourself. I guess that would go for other things. I know some guys are alligator hunters that have contacted me. I would assume the same applies for something like that. And I'm going to guess, Scott, you've never ever actually dressed up like an animal that you were hunting.
I have not done that. The animals I hunt are bugs in the house when my wife freaks out. And it still amazes me that she can have, you know, four kids by natural childbirth and lose her mind when a spider crawls in the room.
I understand that. Well, how about we move on to something a little more serious here?
Sure. I've been thinking a lot about marriage lately, and with my parents' 50th anniversary coming next week. And we're going up to get the whole family together. And, you know, from what I hear, there's going to be cousins of cousins there that I've never even met. So I'm pretty excited to see everybody and celebrate my parents' 50th anniversary. But it's got me thinking quite a bit, that. And a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I got together with our old small couples, or our old young married couples group that we used to have when we were first married. And we get together, you know, once or twice a year now. And it's just great to see them and catch up and see how everybody's kids are growing. And but, you know, it's funny, when we were talking, all of us kind of agreed that at least one of the keys to our successful marriages has been having that group as kind of a foundation when we started out, to really hold each other accountable and encourage each other to work hard on our marriage. We did, you know, Bible studies and read books together and had picnics and watched movies and pretty much did life together. And I think it really helped set us up for success. And I'm just curious, you seem like you and your wife have a really good marriage. I was wondering if you had any good tips for having a great marriage.
Well, maybe I should just clarify right off the bat. You know, you said you seem like you have a pretty good marriage. You know, we're like everybody else's marriage. Our marriage stinks from time to time. That's just the way it goes. You know, it is hard. And I think, you know, just listening to you, how great to have a group like that. And I think that's one of the keys to success, is to not go it alone, because I'm just convinced that every marriage out there is hard. I just keep hearing of people who I look on them and I think, oh, wow, what an incredible marriage they have. But I don't see it all. I don't see that the husband and wife, when they lay in bed and the wife says, I don't even like you. You know, my wife has said that to me. And I, you know, not too long ago, and it was like such a shock to me, because like a 3 weeks earlier, she said, oh, I just love you so much. And then she goes, you know, says, I don't like you. And I'm like, well, not long ago, you said you loved me. And she said, well, I was wrong. And I'm like, how can that be? How can you be wrong? But, you know, it's hard. It's hard for everybody. You know, even this past weekend, my wife was able to deliver some encouraging news to me that didn't feel encouraging and felt discouraging. You know, she said, oh, I was looking at some of those old pictures outside, you know, in the hallway at the lake cottage. And she said some pictures of me, she was saying, talking about me. And she said, oh, you know, you were so charming then. And she said, you know, sometimes you're just mean now. And I was like blown away. I'm like, what do you mean was charming? I am charming. I am Mr. Charming himself. You know, I'm witty. I'm what all those things that I see myself as. And she saw some of those things that I've lost. That some of those charming things were now I was taking, you know, her for granted, or even being mean in my comments. And, you know, I don't feel like a mean person. But when your wife says one thing about you, maybe you are that. And that's a hard thing to swallow, especially when you feel like you're trying. So, you know, I was thinking about that, you know. So I would say one of the tips, Dad, as you're listening, is don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. You know, I know there are times where we will just want to check out and we want to say, fine, you think I'm mean, you think I'm this way, I'll show you. You know, you don't think I'm charming anymore, then I'll just quit trying. Or, you know, whatever they say, don't give up. Don't give up, Dad. You know, and even as I was talking to my wife, she said, you know, I just want to be treated like as though you cherish me, that you cherish me and that you're gentle with me, you know, because we used to be that way, didn't we, Dad? We used to, you know, when we'd be driving down the road and our wife would say, hey, I forgot something back there, you know, 20 miles. We'd go, oh, that's okay. Fine, honey, we'll just turn around and go get it. And now, you know, my wife will say, hey, I left something inside when we're still in the driveway. And I'm like, you're kidding me. You mean you want me to go get it? And we just change. And instead of our hearts feeling heavy when our wife feels overwhelmed, we're bothered by it. You know, or instead of holding her hand and saying, oh, I understand, we say, get over it. Come on, it's not that bad. And then we wonder why we begin to build up these walls between us. So, you know, my wife wants to be cherished. Your wife wants to be cherished. She wants to be treated like you used to treat her. You know, you used to open car doors. You used to sit there and listen to her. You know, when she would talk. And now, you know, when our wives are talking, we're thinking, how long is this going to take? Do we have to go through this again? Boy, there's something good on TV right now. If we could just end this, maybe we could go do that. You know, but it used to be, you know, I remember being at Purdue University with my wife and sitting on a couch in a dorm lounge and sit there for hours, you know, just as we'd talk and, you know, I'd listen. You know, I think our wives, as I've asked lots of wives, you know, what do you want in a man? And they say, we want a good spiritual leader. You know, and I think they don't want, you know, Billy Graham or the Pope to, you know, as their husband. They just want someone who cares about what's important. They want someone who's listening to God and then is leading their families. You know, sometimes I think, you know, when I think that when we were first married, that was so easy. It was just she and I, and then we added one or two little kids. But the more children you add, the more run down you get, the harder it is to do those things. But I think our wives want us to do those things. I think our wives want us to be listening to the master. And and then leading the family. You know, we've been trying since our school has begun, and we homeschool, in case you didn't know that. But we have family devotions in the morning, and we've gotten off over the summer. We haven't done very much of that. But I've kind of made it a commitment that we're going to do it. We're going to start at a certain time. We're not going to make them real long. And I'm going to put a little preparation into it. You know, I'm the kind of guy who shoots from the hip, like, hey, we can do this right now. But she likes it to be thought through. So I want her to know that I care enough to think it through. And so, you know, we haven't missed any. And again, it's not very deep. But I want her to know that I'm leading our family in spiritual things. I've got a little list on my desk right now, you know, that things that I just started writing this morning. My kids were doing Bible reading, but they've kind of slacked off. We're starting a new school year, so I've kind of drawn up some things that this is what I'm going to have Isaac do and Abe do and Sam do. And even my oldest son, Ben, who's out of high school, you know, he's of course living in our house, but he's kind of on his own. I've got some things I want him to do, you know, and I know couples who have prayed together. I wish my wife and I did that more, you know. We do pray together, but we don't do that concerted, you know, once a week or, you know, we used to, but we don't now. And I think my wife would want us to. You know, a guy once asked me, Scott, he said, you know, what makes a good dad? I guess he could have said, you know, kind of like your question. So what makes a good marriage? Or what makes a good husband? And I never liked those simple, well, if you do these 10 things, then you can achieve it. Because I wasn't very good at them, you know. I was always, I could do three of the things. I could do the things that I was good at, you know, as long as I didn't have to play games. And so I didn't have an answer. But I chewed on that for a couple months until I think I came up with it. And it's what I started this little topic with. I just said, you know, I think what makes a good dad, what makes a good husband, is one who never gives up, one who just keeps trying. You ask forgiveness, and you should ask forgiveness. You know, maybe you feel like you've failed your wife. You know, you ask her forgiveness, and then you go on. In fact, I just challenge you. Ask your wife tonight, you know, maybe plan to go to bed at the same time, which is a good thing to do, and say, honey, you know, I was listening to Todd on the Toddcast, and he said I should see how we're doing in our marriage. So ask your wife. Ask her if she thinks you have a great marriage. She might, you know, maybe you'll be surprised and she'll say yes. You won't be surprised by that, actually, because you already think you have a great marriage. But she might say something that's a little disconcerting that might involve some work on your behalf. I'm just going to guess because, you know, marriage is like bicycling uphill. If you quit pedaling, you begin to roll down. I wish it weren't so, but that's just the way it is.
You know, it's funny. I almost feel like you're talking about my house sometimes when I hear you saying stuff like that. Because, yeah, we think we have a great marriage, and that's what I'll say. And I think sometimes it's just a matter of believing that you do have a great marriage and choosing to have a great marriage. You know, in the vulnerable moments when I'm willing to ask my wife, hey, honey, how am I doing? You know, are we having a good marriage now? And she'll say overall yes, probably, but there's always something I need to work on. And it's like, you know, when you yell at the kids, it really makes me feel like we don't have a good marriage and that kind of stuff. And yeah, you know, you're so right that we need to just keep plugging away and hanging in there and don't give up. Speaking of that, you got an email this week from a wife who feels like her husband is giving up. And it's a pretty lengthy email. I won't read the whole thing, but she pretty much has got a husband who's having an affair with his iPad, if you want to put it that way. He got an iPad 15 months ago, she said, and the long and short of it is, in that time, he spent over a month of solid time with his iPad with no one else engaging, and pretty much if anybody bothers him, he yells at them or has pretty much just disengaged at this point. And she's just pleading, I think, for some kind of help. And she ends up saying that, you know, I can't count the cost of the fishing trips that the kids didn't go on with him, the bike rides he skipped. He missed out watching both his daughters learn to ride without training wheels. Apparently, Doctor Who takes precedence in those situations, she says. And the worst part about discovering how bad this problem has become is this. I don't know how to change it. There is no one in his life to hold him accountable. There's just us, four kids and a wife, a family that lost to an iPad.
That's a sad, sad thing. You know, and Scott, honestly, it's something I hear all the time. I can remember getting an email from a guy. It's been a couple years now. And he wrote me and he said that he had lost his family. His wife left him because he was playing video games 20 hours a day. You know, when I read that, I thought, oh man, that's got to be a fluke. You know, nobody can play 20 hours a day. And I was speaking in a group. I don't even know where I was. And I had mentioned the email. And I was shocked because wives came out of the woodwork afterwards and said, my husband does the same thing. You know, and again, maybe it's, you know, I said earlier that I wasn't wired to play games. I think maybe we are wired, guys, to like the technology part. We like video games, or we like, you know, Doctor Who or whatever, or, you know, I think it engages us in a way that's easy, you know, and sometimes family isn't easy. You know, sometimes it's always hard, you know, we've already talked about it. And I've talked to wives who said, you know, my husband was a good husband until we got an Xbox or until we got an iPad. And now he's pulled out. You know, I can remember one time when my wife and I were newly married. Actually, maybe we had a child or two. And we would go to a little restaurant. It was a Noble Romans. Do you have Noble Romans in Cincinnati?
We used to. They aren't here anymore.
I know. They're almost all gone here, too. Now they've been relegated to gas stations where you can get, you know, maybe a pizza or some breadsticks. Mm-hmm. But we used to go and we'd get breadsticks. And we'd sit in this Noble Romans. And there was this other family that always show up. And they were kind of an odd-looking family. But the dad, it would be a dad and a wife and maybe two or three kids. They all had super blonde, bleached blonde hair. And they all wore glasses. And that dad would sit there in that booth, and he would read a book every single time. I mean, it just looks so odd because, you know, his family's kind of talking to him, and he's sitting there reading a book every time we were there. And I thought, well, you know, my mom told me we weren't allowed to use the word jerk, but I wanted to use the word jerk. I wanted to go up and shake that guy and say, you're a dad. These kids and your wife need you. You know, I want to say the same thing to the guy who's on the iPad. You know, I commend the wife because I know her heart is broken and she's trying not to be a nag. Dad, nagging won't get us to do what they want us to do anyway. You know, it just pulls us farther away. But Dad, if you are spending gobs of time on the internet, you know, shutting your door. I saw another dad just super recently. You know, he's gone all the time doing all these things. You know, he doesn't eat with his family. He's always eating with someone else. You know, he travels a lot. I want to shake him and say, you're missing out on the best. You're missing out on what really, really matters. You're letting your wife down. You're letting your children down. And again, my heart aches most for the father because he's missing the best. And, you know, to the dad who is doing that, I'm going to guess he probably even knows that. But sometimes, you know, we take the easy way out. We know we're being crummy dads. We know we're being, but, you know, we almost say, well, we don't care. I know you care. I know that dad cares. But I'm telling you, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Scott, we need accountability. I can't be there to shake his shoulders, but he needs someone who can. Dad, you know, if you're listening to me, find somebody who can hold you accountable. It doesn't have to be a big accountability group. You know, I used to go every Tuesday morning when I was home out to breakfast with an old guy. He was 75 years old. And, you know, we didn't open our Bibles. We didn't have an agenda. But he really held me accountable to being a good husband and a good father. I didn't always, you know, he didn't go down through a list of things. He just knew me. And he'd say, now, Mr. Wilson, you know, you need to be. And I'm like, you're right. And so, you know, Dad, if you have found yourself in that same situation, I would plead to you, get rid of the iPad. You know, get rid of the video game. I wouldn't court it. I wouldn't say, well, you know, I'll just do it for a half an hour. Because those half hours turn into 5 hours, just like that. And so I would, you know, I had one mom, and it was pretty wise. She was stuck. She didn't know what to do. So she wanted to be a submissive wife. She just picked up her husband's, it was a Nintendo or something like that, game box or something. And she just picked it up while he was at work, took it and laid it on the pastor's desk, and walked away. And when her husband came home, he was furious. And she said, I didn't say anything to the pastor. I just laid it on his desk. If you want it back, you go back and explain to him why I put it there.
Wow.
And, you know, she was stuck. And, you know, so, Dad, maybe you need to do that with someone else. Give him your iPad and say, hey, I've got problems with it. I'm curious, Scott. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It reminds me of this movie I saw a long time ago, The Prince of Tides. It's, I think Barbara Streisand was in it, and Nick Nolte. It wasn't a great movie I'd recommend, but there was a scene in there that this reminded me of where the father had just checked out. He was vegging out watching TV, literally while one of the children was having birthday. Like, they were singing, the family was singing happy birthday to him and had the candles lit on the cake and all that. And the dad just totally checked out watching TV. And they try to get the dad to come over and have some birthday cake, and he's like, I'm watching TV, yelling at him. And the older son, out of nowhere, has just shoots the TV with the shotgun. And, you know, they all are shocked and hanging there with their mouths open. And he looks at his dad and says, the TV's broke. Have some birthday cake. And I think, you know, I'm not sure, like, I'm not a trained counselor or an expert on what to do in these situations. My first thought was for her to say, you know, if this guy's got anybody who could speak truth to him, you know, that he trusts, have that guy confront him on the iPad use. But she kind of said at the end of the email that there, you know, really isn't anyone. And, you know, honestly, if I was her, what I would do is take a baseball bat to the iPad right in front of him and tell him, look, we got to fix this. This is not happening any longer, because basically their marriage is over as it stands if they don't do something about it, you know.
Yeah.
It might be more effective even if one of the kids did it, but, you know, I don't know what this guy's like, and I don't want to give advice I shouldn't give. So that's just my emotional reaction, I think, when I hear about stuff like that. So, but obviously something has to change,
right? And you know, since we're talking to probably all guys here, I would say, you know, shame on us dads if we put our wife in such a predicament that she writes Todd, a total stranger, and pours her heart out to him because of what we have done. You know, it saddens me to think maybe my wife would do the same thing, maybe about something else. And hey, I think we're just about out of time, Scott. And you know, as we're thinking about this, maybe as we bring it to a close, you know, what really motivates me oftentimes is thinking that today might be our last day as a family man. You know, I just saw a Facebook little post today about a couple that was, you know, they had to take their son into the emergency room last night because he had an asthma attack. And then they gave him some medication and he reacted to it. And I don't know how it's turned out, but, you know, I'm praying that everything's okay. But you don't know, you know, that you wake up and your son or your daughter that you've been putting off is dead, or, you know, your wife, something happens, or something happens to you. We're not guaranteed of this the rest of this week. So let me just encourage you today, Dad, you know, to do what you need to do. Don't pull out. Get back in the game. If you have to ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness. And do it all because you today.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Please leave us a review on iTunes and check us out online at familymanweb.com. You can also find us there on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and even on YouTube. If you want to check out my blog, it's thecallofmen.com. I wrote a little bit about my married small group on there this week, so check that out if you want. And join us next week for another episode of The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Until then, have a great week.